Today's episode is brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app.
The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
In a little bit, we'll get to our picks of the week. We're also going to add an NFL Survivor pick to try and help you guys get those pools going and win that cash. Bear's got a couple picks. I got a couple college picks. And Bear's going to tell us what Monday night in Annapolis was like. Also want to remind everyone to check out the SB Pod. There's an awesome podcast out with me, Scott, and Chris Cooley, formerly of the Redskins. He's awesome. He knows a lot about football. You should listen to it. Download and subscribe to the SB Pod and Stanford Steve and the Bear wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We have games. The quality of games, we'll talk about that later. Bear, how are we doing today?
We're doing well, and I think you just said it all there. We have football, which is good. How many games we're going to have this week seems to be dwindling by the day, but we got games. We have something to talk about at least, and we'll see how the week plays out. It had an interesting game on Monday night down there in Annapolis, so hopefully that will be the exception rather than the norm this upcoming season.
Tell me about it. How I don't want to say depressing, because we got to watch college football. Obviously, BYU brought their lunch boxes and got to work. That might have been the easiest live bet game I've ever seen in my life. But walking around, being there in the truck, crowd noise, no crowd noise. Do you get your own crowd noise pumped into your headset?
I just turn up the producer pod on the McCurdy station in the truck and just crank it up for that. Or I'll find a static noise. But no, a few things. Yes, it did seem weird with no fans in there. I do think you hit on Herbie and like energy. I think part of that was because the game was so out of reach and so lopsided. I think that when we get a competitive game and a close game, I think the juice of being at a college football game after not necessarily thinking we were going to have a season potentially for a while, I think we'll be fine. However, on the other side, I think these broadcasts now present opportunities to kind of be a little bit creative. I think fans at home got a taste of hearing the sounds of the game, hearing adjustments, hearing signals, hearing the sideline go crazy on a big play or a big hit. I think if broadcast can kind of produce the game now and direct the game and camera cut the game and provide audio on the sidelines to the benches with those reactions, the way they maybe handled the crowd or the band or cheerleaders, I think that might provide a pretty unique viewing opportunity for some fans. So while there are no fans, I do think the broadcasting itself is going to be a little bit different and evolve, and it might be something that people could get used to at home. But yeah, you also hit on something there again right away, and I had said it Monday night as well. Like, that was the poster child for live betting. You needed to see one drive from each team before you knew how this one was going to go. And I think this year, obviously our listeners are pretty smart and can catch on to these things as well.
Yeah,
but like, I would suspect this season especially that a majority of wagering should be done via the live bet fashion. It's going to be hard here for us, at least. I don't want to speak for you, but for me to sit here on a Wednesday early in the day and have a really, really strong feel about a game or a side or a total, and then later in the week get reports of a COVID positive test and players sitting out. So I'm going to do my best to give as much of a lean, a feel, a pick, an opinion as possible. But at the same time, don't be surprised that if later in the week some news comes out that might lessen a feel or a lean or a side or something as information comes, because this is going to be the most unpredictable season that we've seen. Players and coaches are creatures of habit, and they like being in control. This is a year where there isn't going to be any habit. It's going to be off the hook. There aren't going to be any norms. There isn't going to be repetition. There's going to be a lot of improvising and adjusting. So we're all in this boat, I think, together.
Yeah, I think you said this is still a podcast. It's not going to turn into a lean cast. Is that your words that you used? I believe.
Yeah,
so?
That's what I was saying before. Like, we want to give a podcast. We want to give some picks. I don't want it to be the. Yeah, I lean towards whatever. I lean, yep. But at the same time. And I think it's understandable for people too. Like at this point in the, unless you really, really love a game, you love a number, you don't want to be too committed to something, too married to something this early in the week. And,
no
and,
doubt.
And to use an example for this week, it's a game that I like.
Okay.
And it's a game that I really, 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 really want to make an official pick. And I'm still waffling. Like, why is Kansas a 7-point favorite over Coastal Carolina? Coastal Carolina beat them last year in Lawrence. Coastal Carolina has a ton of offensive production coming back, total production as well. They're one of the, I think they're top 20 according to the Bill Connolly's formula in terms of returning production. And Kansas is near the bottom in terms of returning production. They don't have very many disruptive playmakers on defense. Quarterback situation's unproven. I think their offensive line's a problem. Now they got a great running back, but I mean, if you're an FBS defensive coordinator, you should be able to develop a defensive scheme to shut down a running game. And this line opened up at 3, 3.5. And then within the span of a day, it went to 7. So I don't know why would like so much money be coming in on Kansas. I can't think it's solely because of a revenge factor from last year that they lost to Coastal Carolina. So either
the shot declares.
Yeah. So either like somebody sees a clear difference in their power ratings and just hammered it and sent it out to their people and people are following, or there's word out that maybe there's some players that are going to miss the game for Coastal Carolina. So it's a tough spot for me. I probably will ultimately wind up making Coastal Carolina +7 an official pick, just because I think if you get the 7 or the win by 7, I like it better at 7 than 6.5, I think. But that's a week one. That's a perfect situation of what we're talking about. Like, things just don't seem to make sense with that game. And you're a little concerned, like an aside, where there's been so much money, apparently so much steam against you.
Yeah, it's a great thing to point out, the idea of that Kansas thing. And then I look at Kansas just – I mean, everybody loves that the offensive coordinator, and then Les came in and said, you know, he's even got more rain, which I think a lot of LSU fans wanted to hear a couple of years back when he was still there. But that's in the past. But you got to have good players to have a good offense. And I worry, you can be the greatest play caller in the world, but if you don't have the guys to do it, it ain't going to happen. So I like that. It does. It scares me a little. We are not guys that are scared easily, but it is a little, not alarming, but curious. It's a very curious line. I'm going to go to a game that I was looking at, and I know everybody wants to keep score and make fun of us when we get picks wrong. So, again this year, the official picks, because even the .com guys love doing it, our picks will be released in a column on Thursday mornings on .com. Those are submitted late tonight. So, those are official picks we'll give. I'm just throwing out everything I have from the week that I've done of looking at games and research and stuff, yeah. and looking stuff up. So, I was looking at Georgia Tech and Florida State. The Ramblin' Wreck is +12.5. 54.5 is the number. Georgia Tech's pretty fascinating to me. I mean, nobody loves doing interviews more than Coach Collins, But no one loves keeping stuff tighter to the vest than Coach Collins. And what I mean that is they have four guys right now. Possibly they're going to start the game. And I remember Saban when Jalen Hurts came out, like, why am I going to tell anybody when, you know, we know it's a good secret and this kid could be our starter. And he had the other kids start the game. And then Hurts played the whole way through and led them to the national championship game. Collins coached under Saban. I think he likes having that control thing where he knows what's going on and he has power over everybody. So we know they're in transition, still getting out of the option. Florida State is in transition with Mike Norvell coming in. Blackman, again, I believe this is his fourth offensive coordinator he'll have in 4 years. Right there, I'm rooting for the kid. Florida State's defensive line should be very good. Marvin Wilson, big boy up front, is could be the best in the country, but we'll see. I know motivation has been a thing that scouts have looked at him at. But I think this game with both teams still in transition, it's going to be kind of ugly. It's a conference game, obviously, as they all are going to be moving. ACC has one in-state game out of conference. Isn't that the yes. rule? Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're starting off with a conference game. So it's – I look at that number of 54.5, and I think that might go under. I know Florida State has 10 of 11 back on defense. Asante Samuel Jr. also in that secondary. Georgia Tech's got to be better on defense. They only had 17 sacks. I think Collins is good enough to, you know, look at enough tape and realize what he has now from a personnel standpoint and get creative and get more pressures on the quarterback. You got to do that. Florida State's O-line gave up 48 sacks. So I think I know Norvell is coming. What they haven't ended up averaging over 40 points a game, I think, at Memphis last year. I think it was like 40.5. But I just think defense early in the year, I look at that under in that game between those two teams.
Do you have any capris? You should maybe wear those capris like Coach Collins does this weekend. I think that would be a good look for you.
It's almost like he pins his jeans like we used to back in the 90s.
Yeah. You cuff it like you tuck it under, roll them up a little bit, show the ankles. And
speaking of, is that a real high school photo floating around of you on the internet last week?
Yeah, it is.
Whoa!
Yeah, how about that?
Diamond Dom?
Yeah, they call him because Dominic's my middle name and Dominic's my dad's name. So they used to be like Diamond Dom on the mic. Yeah, don't ask. I don't know. I used to do the PA announcing for the basketball game, the basketball team. So the diamond voice, whatever.
Wow.
Certainly, that's a long time ago. I wouldn't exactly say my voice is a diamond anymore. Yeah, but that is a real – and I took a terrible, terrible angle on that kickoff return too. That was the Suffolk County – championship game my senior year, and that was a kickoff. I took a terrible, I tried to push the guy out of bounds instead of going take his legs out, and it was over. It was 34-0 after that, and we were done. So
single digit number one,
Jesse Armstead, my Miami Hurricane. That was my guy.
Oh, okay.
So I wore number one.
Oh, just speaking of high school football, there's serious tales about Jesse Armstead in high school down in Texas. Man, that guy.
I thought you were going to say, speaking of high school, when I was driving home from Annapolis yesterday, I was driving down through the All-American Valley there.
Oh.
Through Route 8, and I was thinking of you.
Sad days in Connecticut. No high school football. A lot of people upset. Yep. Not a lot of people are going to be excited of that, obviously. But we got to do what you got to do. What else? What else you got on your slate when you're looking at these games this week?
Two things that stuck out to me total-wise, Miami and UAB, a bunch of 55s. I see a 54.5 at Circa. I'm looking at right now. Miami has been a terrible team laying big numbers lately. If you go back and look at it, Miami, they've lost each of the last five games. At least they were a seven-point favorite. Failed to cover each of the last nine. They've been a brutal thing. In the last eight games that they played as a favorite of at least a touchdown, they're average like 17.4 points per game, which is terrible. And I think with De'Aaron King coming in, I think with Rhett Lashley coming in, I would expect them in this situation to score a lot of points and kind of show the optimism and the energy and the excitement, and that De'Ara King is going to live up to the billing that everybody kind of hopes that he can be in Miami, and kind of rescuing this offense and putting them into that upper echelon of contenders to reach the ACC title game. Now, at the same time, I do think they'll probably allow a few points. I think what you're going to get is Manny Diaz and the defensive staff playing a lot of guys early in the year to try and figure out some of the losses that they've had. Obviously, Rousseau opted out, but they lost some other guys in the secondary and linebacker. I think they'll still be good, but I think they still have holes that they need to plug in. So you might see Miami's D struggle a little bit more, especially maybe later in the game as the more inexperienced players come in. I thought the over 54.5, over 55 was a play, and I'll put that down as a real pick. I'm sure come writing column time later in the day, but I feel pretty good about that. And then the other total I liked was the over in the Louisville Western Kentucky game. I see a bunch of 58s. I see a 57.5 at Circa. So Metcalf and Mike Palm and Derek Stevens and the boys giving away a half a point to the side I like there is interesting. So I probably feel a little bit good. I don't know if I feel good about that or not, that they're giving away a number around me, because Metcalf and those guys are pretty good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you look at Cunningham and that receiving core. Hawkins at running back, they're going to score a ton of points. Their defense struggled at times last year. Western should be pretty settled in offense with the former Turpin quarterback now. A lot of experience back at running back and receiver. You would think that they, in turn, in a rivalry-type game, in-state, bigger school, should probably put up some points as well. So if you're looking at a game where you think Louisville's going to score 38, or 35, can Western Kentucky score 24? Sure. So yeah. I'll go over the 57.5, 58 with Western Kentucky, Louisville as well. Those were certainly two totals. And obviously we lost a couple of games this week, so the pickings are slim, but a couple of sides that I'm looking at. And again, this is crazy for me to think that I want to lay these big of a numbers. But I think if you look at Syracuse and North Carolina, obviously, Syracuse's practice schedule has been disrupted by things going on up there. North Carolina is a team that has a ton of people back, and I think they're out to prove that the hype and the expectations and that bowl momentum of a big win and a high ranking and a lot of excitement and optimism and energy is real and not fake. So I think there's a chance they could put a number on Syracuse. Syracuse is an interesting team. We talked about it last week with those win totals, how – it actually dropped to 5.5, and that's a little tough, a lot tougher than 6. But Syracuse had tons of problems on offense last year on the offensive line and at quarterback. A lot of those were injury related, so hopefully that won't happen again. But I wonder about how this is going to go this year for Syracuse. I mean, obviously they had that big win over Clemson a couple of years ago, that shocking win as a massive underdog. I think in what Dino Babers' first year, they had that 10-win magical season. Then last year they stunk. So, like, you got one good, really good season and then three seasons that kind of
Yep.
So, like, is that one year just kind of a like a blip on the radar? Is that show the potential that they could be? I'm curious to see how this is going to go for Syracuse this year. So I'll take a little bit longer. I don't know if I'm too excited about laying 2022-23 pregame. I might wait and see what the direction of that game is going to be, and be really locked in on that, and maybe focus on live betting that game if UNC does get off to a big lead. Because remember, I hate harping back to that BYU Navy game on Monday night, but like after those first two drives, it was BYU minus 5.5, and that was like, are you kidding me? That's like, okay, well, max bet, whatever you can, and then
I ended up getting at 7.5.
Yeah,
I felt awesome about it.
Oh, yeah. It went from 5.5 to 17.5 after the second score. And I'm like, all right, I'm pretty good at 5.5. I'm pretty confident.
Yeah.
And then after they scored again, it went to 23.5. And I'm like, all right, let me fire in again here. Because this, I'm like, this is not going to get better. And then the other side that I liked, and I'm curious to get your take on it because it's two of your favorite teams and teams that you like to back, Duke and Notre Dame.
You're a jerk.
What? Didn't you go over with Notre Dame or pick Notre Dame to make the playoff?
No, I did not.
I thought you said.
I am known to love betting Notre Dame, though. I am. Yeah. Really excited to see their offensive talent this year.
I could have sworn I heard you say that. Maybe I'm confusing it with I think I'm confusing you with Lee Corso from Game Day on Saturday because like Lee picked Notre Dame to make the playoff.
I did give out my four teams for the playoff.
What were they?
Alabama.
Okay.
Texas A&M.
Okay.
Clemson.
Okay.
And Oklahoma State.
That's different. I like it though.
Yes.
You got two complete off the radar teams.
This whole idea of people throwing out that Alabama and Georgia are going to play three times. No thanks. No thanks.
Well, that's going to be an interesting debate all year long because
shouldn't be.
I didn't even get to finish my question, my statement on my question. If you're being honest, I think people are going to look at the polls throughout the year, and you probably could have Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and maybe LSU. You could probably have like four of the top five teams in the country. All from the SEC, so we'll see. But anyway, circling back to getting her back on the road and going with Duke Notre Dame here, like that David Cutcliffe as an underdog thing, kind of regressed last year, and when you knew it was going to happen eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I know they got Chase Brice coming in, but I'm not sure about Duke this year. I think they got some problems, and Notre Dame last Notre Dame. I think the thought was like, why are they overrated? Why are they a big favorite? Like last year as a big favorite, as like a 20-point favorite, like they are this week, they absolutely took care of business.
Mm-hmm.
They crushed Duke last year, I think 38-7. The offensive skill with a healthy Armstrong, book back, and those receivers, and you know their offensive line is always going to be good.
Always.
I kind of like them -20 here.
Okay.
You got any thoughts on that?
I've been reading about, you know, how excited they are for these new running backs. And then the guys, you know, they obviously lost the big guy to the Steelers in the draft on the outside. I've said it before. I am an Ian Book fan. I like the kid a lot. I think he's got a ton of guts. I think he does whatever he needs to do to get his team wins. I'm kind of really interested to see. They're getting plenty of hype, these skill guys for Notre Dame. So if they're any half as good of the hype they're getting, covering 20 in this one, should not be a problem. I do want to go back to your UAB thing. I know what you're saying about Miami, but it feels like when UAB steps up in class here, it doesn't go too well. I don't have any numbers. It's just the perception I have, which could be totally wrong, but that's what I think of when they go up to play these Power 5 teams. I watched a ton of that game last week. Spencer Brown is a really, really good running back. Johnson, the quarterback, he's got some good guys. Sammy Watkins, I think it's his nephew or his cousin, is their leading receiver, Austin Watkins. They get Myron Mitchell. The kid Prince caught two touchdown passes. They got some talent on offense. That overpick is worth it. I'm really, really excited to see De'Aaron King in Rhett Lashley's system. We touched on that last week. I'm sure the Miami fan base is that. What time is – oh, that's Thursday night. That's right.
Thursday night.
So they shouldn't be affected by that heat. I don't think Georgia Tech, I looked at that weather going down to Tallahassee. People want to blow that out of proportion. I think it's, you know, an 82-degree day in Florida, so the boys from Atlanta shouldn't have anything else.
To back up your point, like last year they gave up 30 to Tennessee at a time when the Vols hadn't fully got cranked on offense. The year before, they gave up 41 to A&M. So you're right. Even at Florida, the year they came back in 17, they gave up 36. So there definitely is something to what you had said about when they step up in competition in class, they do have a tendency to get blown out, and they do have a tendency to give up a lot of points. So yes, your thought bubble definitely has some validity there.
Feel free to use that stuff on game day this week, all right?
I can't use it on game day because the game already will have been played.
Oh, that's right.
I might steal it and use it in the column, though.
There we go. There you go. That works. So Iowa State and Kansas State, two teams I gave out last week, I think they could win the conference. Iowa State, I really, all week I've been thinking about that game last week, how lucky they, last year, how lucky they were to come back and beat NIU, who ended up, I think, doing well in the 1AA playoffs.
Yeah.
But I look at Louisiana coming in. Napier, the head coach there, has done an awesome job. I actually thought he was going to get a Power 5 job last year, but he did not. He's a Saban disciple. He coached at Bama at the beginning. But Iowa State, Purdy, obviously, they set a school record for points last year, but he's lost his receivers, and they lost four O-linemen. So I think the continuity and stuff like that could take a little bit of time to go get going. Louisiana returns all their guys in their secondary. Levi Lewis, the quarterback, threw for 26 touchdowns, four picks last year. And the Raging Cajuns were top 10 nationally in total offense, scoring offense, and yards per play. So I like what they have coming back also. So I think I'm going to take this 10.5. I'm going to take the 10.5. And like I said, last year that's still instilled in my head of that slow start. And, I mean, you could say this every game that we pick. There's no home crowd in Ames. So, I mean, there's nothing to be intimidated about, which is one of my favorite home, what I consider one of the best home field advantages in the sport. So I'm gonna go Raging Cajuns plus 10.5.
I like your Louisiana pick, and you mentioned last year how the Clones struggled out of the gate, nearly getting picked off at home. Remember the opener last year for Louisiana? They were a massive underdog against Mississippi State. They wound up being a 10-point game. So I think you could wind up seeing a similar type game. And look, Fran Fraschilla and I think are battling to be crowned mayor of Ames and have statues built in the town after the love that he's given them for basketball and me picking him as a sleeper dark horse to maybe reach the college football playoff. But with all of those expectations and no home crowd right off the bat, maybe you do see them start off a little sluggish, but I can totally see your Louisiana pick there. I feel a little concerned about laying that number with Iowa State just because it is a situation, I think, where Louisiana will be really fired up to play a Big 12 team on the road in their opener and maybe make a little bit of a statement because they're a good team. And we'll see how long Billy Napier is going to be in Lafayette because I think he's going to be a name that continues to get a lot of attention for Power 5 jobs.
All right, and then the other one I mentioned, Kansas State, is Arkansas State's going there. They obviously took it on the chin from Memphis last week. They led for a little bit of that game, but then the Memphis onslaught just was too much for them. This is a totally different matchup for the Red Wolves as they go up to Manhattan. And Kansas State, I mentioned last week, I like them a lot this year. I love the coaching staff. I trust what they're going to do. They got to replace – I think four out of their five offensive linemen. So this is also the case, in general, speaking terms, where the team has played a game already has an advantage against the team that hasn't. And I just look at that from a continuity thing. Arkansas State has already, game shape's a whole different thing than practice shape. So I look at that one is Arkansas State, the Red Wolves are plus 10.5. So I'm going to take those double digits there. And, like I said, I just think it's the case of, maybe the team that hasn't played yet is a little sloppy. And just like the Raging Cajuns going up to Ames, this is a big spot for Arkansas State to get a nationally televised game on Fox. So the old noon kickoff in Manhattan.
Hopefully, nooner.
The nooner. Arkansas State brings their lunch pails and gets to work early.
They have a ton of guys back on offense. They had that game under their belt. I agree. I think that is another underdog. I think that I would certainly be inclined to take plus the points. And it was funny when someone last week on Twitter took Bill Connolly's SP plus rankings and did a visualization chart with it. And like Kansas State was the epitome of like perfectly average, like right in the middle. Like if there was a poster child for like being like right square in the middle of like totally like average, equal in all phases of like offensive SP plus, defensive SP plus, like it was Kansas State. So, but with the Wildcats are smack dab in that middle. We don't do anything super, super well, but you know what? We don't do anything really bad either.
That's a thing. I think he did try a lot of things in that first year to see what he had, and being in a new conference, being with the big boys after being so dominant at the FCS level. So I think when they do find something that they're good at, they will do it and pound you into the ground. And I'm thinking that's going to be the run game hopefully this year, but it just might take a little bit of time. And the other one's an in-state battle is App State hosting Charlotte. Charlotte's catching 17. App State, new coaching staff, lost a ton on defense. I know they got the quarterback back and his top three receivers. But Charlotte has their quarterback back, and I've always been a fan of Will Healy. I just think that's a lot of points. These guys played last year. It was a shootout. I think it was like 56-41 or something like that. So I'm looking at Charlotte there and possibly the over. I think it's at 60 right now. I think both those teams will get after it. Healy's offense, I think, will be a lot more polished after, you know, they won enough games to go to a bowl game and put up a stinker, but they did get to go to the Bahamas.
I'm still holding a grudge in that bowl game.
Okay. Let it out. Don't hold it.
How dare they go to a nice tropical destination and decide not to, like, practice and focus it on a game and not let us know?
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't there, like, a crazy, like, one-directional wind as well there?
Yes.
Where, like, you just couldn't, like, throw one way and it just –
couldn't kick. Nothing.
Yeah, it just didn't go well, so – Will Healy and the boys are going to have to.
They got to earn your trust back.
They got to earn my trust back, and because I was all on board last year, and then to be excited about going to that bowl game and lay a clunker and actually have some fun on the bowl trip, that was inexcusable to not fill us in on that.
Live and learn. Live and learn.
Exactly.
Where are you this week? Are you getting a piece of Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I am.
Wow, let's go. Tell me about it.
The National Football League Monday night.
Your New York Football Giants.
Yeah, the New York Football Giants, who I have fired in an under 6.5 win bet this season on against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It'll be fun to be in the truck for that game Monday night with Chris and Kirk down there. Nice easy trip too. Drive down Monday, early kick at 7.
Not even staying overnight.
No. Winston.
Yeah, you're not flying private from Hartford to New York.
Why?
Bear probably has a driver, though. Don't Bear, you have a driver, don't you?
No. Not allowed to have a driver.
New rules.
In the car by yourself. Everyone has to rent their own car or drive their own car. Just safety precaution. That being said, there might be.
Now, hold on. Let's be real. Herbie ain't renting no cars.
Yeah, he is. Now.
No, he is not.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
All right. I want photo evidence.
Photos are didn't happen.
If I can get the photo evidence of that, I will.
I want Herbie driving a Prius right up to the MetLife Stadium. That's right from the LaGuardia Airport.
Is a Prius like? Is that part of the national fleet, or is like the Chevy Malibu still?
Yeah, Malibu. Yeah. Hyundai Sonata.
I was thinking Elantra.
I think the Ford Taurus is coming back.
Is it?
Yeah, that was my first car.
Every now and then, I think I've seen some Camrys as well.
That's an upgrade.
I think so, yeah. And then you have they're big on the Jeep fleet of SUVs, like the little, like, small compact
little Liberty. SUV.
Like I've a had Cherokee?
That. Yeah, it's like a Jeep.
Yeah, it's terrible. I can't even fit in those.
Now, we're getting back to, like, there's no Hartford, like, Teterboro, but I there might be a Winston-Salem Teterboro. That might happen.
Okay.
That might happen. Just throwing that out there.
Get that out there.
Thank you. Wheels up. Appreciate that.
So you will be there. You'll be in Winston-Salem?
I will be in Winston-Salem. Okay. College game day will be coming from Winston-Salem on Saturday morning.
In the stadium?
No, we are not in the stadium. We are set up on the campus in kind of a nice backdrop type field.
Beautiful campus. I took an unofficial visit there. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did. We talked about
great
that.
Great place.
Yeah.
Great place. Winston-Salem is beautiful.
I've been to Winston-Salem. I've been to Wake Forest once. I remember it was a Thursday night game involving Florida State when Grove Stadium was still under construction.
Okay.
And I think we had this – I couldn't remember if like Rusty LaRue was there or not.
Before we switch gears to a little NFL Survivor pool picks, just a reminder, DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at $100,000. Download the DraftKings app and enter the code STEVE at the sign up. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
David Behrman just texted me, by the way, and this is a good segue because it's not college related, but it's betting related.
Okay.
He and I are involved in this Survivor pool, as I'm sure millions of people are. And it's
Who's your pick this week?
Well, it's an NFL, and this is the conversation that I want to have with you.
Okay.
Like, you know, everybody this week is either going to pick the Chiefs,
yep,
or the Ravens. I would think maybe some people will pick Indianapolis. Like, are you comfortable thinking that the Colts are going to go on the road and
no,
and win in Jacksonville? You can't take
a road team week one in a Survivor pool.
I'm guessing 65% of the people involved in the pool are going to have the Chiefs,
okay,
which everyone could be eliminated on Thursday. It's my theory that you buy, if you're allowed multiple entries, or you can kind of team up with someone.
This is the Kenny Main theory. Kenny does this.
And I think you must know where I'm going. Like, wouldn't you maybe think about taking either like Vegas or Carolina or the Lions or the Bears, like a bunch of teams that you probably aren't ever going to want to use again? That way you're going to advance with a team that you're not going to want to use in the future anyway. Yeah, you're sacrificing an entry, but at the same time, you're guaranteed of moving on. And if you get that like suicide pool debacle week one, then you're in great shape. Thoughts, please.
I can't overthink this. If I'm going to go down, I'm going down with the best quarterback in the sport, the Super Bowl champs, defending their turf at home against a team. Last time they played, lost a lead faster than I can eat a cheeseburger. I just don't think you overthink this. If I'm going down, I'm going down with Mahomes, and that's that. Now, I used to be in one where they wouldn't – it had to be Sunday games. So you couldn't take the Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. So that would make it interesting. If I was still in that one, I mean, I'm not confident in them, but I think people are going to take Buffalo. I can't trust them.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably a good call.
New England's pretty fascinating. Look how ugly that Washington thing is. Oh, my God.
Do you just pick again? Just pick who's ever playing the Jags for the first couple weeks?
I can't do that. I'm not – people have done that, and they've done very well. I know that. Colts, you don't know – like an 8-point favorite on the road, and I know there's no fans, but in an NFL game, that's scary to me. And I know there's no spread in the Survivors. Oh, wow. Buccaneers are at the Saints?
Mm-hmm.
Niners, what are you getting out of them? Cowboys are on the road, can't touch them. Steelers are on the road, can't touch them. Tennessee's favored at Denver?
Yeah, I think there was a big flip in the line move after the Myles Garrett news. No, not Myles Garrett. Von Miller. The other Texas A&M great defensive player, Von Miller.
Yes. That's a tough week, man. I guess you would have to take Travis's theory. I hate taking road teams, and I know it's different this year.
There are a couple of different like theories out there in the way to approach Survivor pools, and like I said, if you can guarantee, maybe spend an extra entry if you can afford it, it's reasonable. Maybe you think about doubling up week. Was that what you were saying? Kenny does. Does Kenny do that?
Yes, Kenny. Okay. Every Survivor pool, he gets like six entries. I think it was – what was it, 2 years ago when the Saints lost at home week one?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2 years ago. He had the Saints in like three of them. So he was happy. He's like, hey, I still got three. But all right, so maybe we'll add that to the list, our NFL Survivor picks for every week.
Good.
I'm going Chiefs. Who are you on the record with?
Just throwing it out there.
Who are you going with?
I haven't decided.
You got to give it out on the podcast. You have to.
This isn't a lean cast. This is picking.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, this is not a lean cast.
We also need your college football playoff picks too.
Yeah, I don't have those.
You Steve,
he's picked it. He's saving those for game day for the big crowds.
Well, yeah,
I honestly haven't even thought about, which is scary, like.
Who'd Pollock give out?
Pollock had, like the chalk, Alabama.
Yes,
yeah, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Oklahoma. Like, I don't think it's going to be that. You know, I'm missing about Survivor this year. I'm missing the Last Man Standing contest. I'm missing the ATS Survivor.
What did the Circa get up to?
I don't know. I think they're pretty close to reaching the break even point.
Okay.
At last check, I have to send Mike at Palm Mikey a note.
When are we going to get back in a casino?
Whenever I go out to Vegas for the NHC.
All right.
Or whenever we're.
I'm hoping to be out there for the Masters week.
Or whenever we get to join Kazarian and Fortenbaum, that lovely set at the Link in Daily Wager.
How much better looking is that set with Fortenbaugh up there? Look at that guy. Yeah. He just smells good. You could just tell. He just brings a nice essence to the desk.
Well, he wakes up in the morning dressed like that.
Yes, he
rolls,
does.
Rolls out of bed, and he's
pants just, ironed.
Pants ironed.
Hair did.
Shirt ironed. Nice pleat. Hair good. No crust.
Runs through
his
closet of the Blazers. No. Yes. All right, I'll take that one. All right, so you're going to Winston-Salem.
Yep.
And beautiful MetLife Stadium.
Correct.
God, that stadium's terrible.
When I was driving back yesterday and passed it, I'm like, I've never been inside the stadium, by the way, that new stadium.
I have. You want to know why?
Why? What did you do?
I took my wife to see Taylor Swift.
Well, at least that's a good reason.
It was great for a concert, I'll tell you that. Nice, clean, convenient. Beers were cold. I got no problems.
But what I'm going to say is, like you know how, like, these new stadiums that are built are always, like
– have some kind of draw.
It's, like, new. It's different. It's fresh. They basically, like, rebuilt Giant Stadium, just updated it. It's like, the exact same shape and, you know, like – and, yeah, it's got, like, that weird, funky – tiling type look on the outside, but the shape of the stadium configuration, it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
Like here's like the 2010 version of Giant Stadium.
Somebody told me that, like, with union dues and workers or whatever, that stadium ended up costing more to build than Jerry World.
Oh, that's depressing.
That's very depressing.
Gee, I was gonna say A, watch a game at either place, and B, work at. I mean, the Cowboys kind of get, like, mocked and laughed at sometimes, but you know what? That stadium is awesome.
Yeah.
To work at.
Oh yes.
It is set up so well for the job that I have to do in television with trucks. It is great.
Mm-hmm.
So they did an awesome job.
Very good. Anything else, Bucknut?
Nope, I'm good over here.
How depressed are you?
Oh, super depressed. Like, I still don't know what it's going to be like on Saturday or, like, how much I watch.
Are Ohio State fans just going to turn on Big Ten Network and see what's on there?
No. I don't even, like, won't even go that direction. But I don't even, like, usually I'll bring out a second TV into my living room during the fall. I don't even know now.
Well, is this where I'm supposed to say I feel sorry for you?
You asked last week. I said Iowa State, but I actually might audible and go with Boston College this year.
Oh, because of Laffley?
Because of Halfley, yeah.
Okay. But hearing good things about the quarterback. People love him.
Yeah, and they got an Ohio State transfer, so –
got to be careful with those Notre Dame transfers, though. Always get a lot of hype.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you're a Crimson Eagle.
Yep.
All right. Good to know. Hit him up. What are you, at Travis Rockhold on Twitter?
Yeah.
Can't wait for Ohio State people to yell at you.
They're not going to yell at me. They are. They're going to see
BC's like irrelevant. No one's going to get wound up.
Yeah, no one's going to care about that. And they're going to see all my tweets bashing Kevin Warren in the Big Ten. That they're not going to get mad at me.
All right, Bear, take us away.
As the BYU Navy game Monday night proved, and certainly in the case of live betting, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.